You're listening to Vatican Radio. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, on Wednesday concluded a visit to East Africa, which could help pave the way for a joint peace mission to South Sudan with Pope Francis. The Archbishop has spent 5 days in Uganda and Sudan, meeting with both religious and government leaders. In Khartoum, he preached at a service marking the inauguration of the 39th province of the Anglican Communion. The new independent province of Sudan marks the culmination of a process that began after South Sudan, where the majority of Christians in the region are located, gained independence from its northern neighbour in 2011. Earlier this year, Pope Francis said he hoped to go on a joint visit to South Sudan with Archbishop Welby, but the planned trip was postponed because of an upsurge in the fighting there. Among those accompanying the Anglican leader on this week's journey was Bishop Nick Baines of the Northern English Diocese of Leeds. I asked him about the visit and about the chances of a joint peace mission by the Anglican and Catholic leaders to war-torn South Sudan. What is the significance of this new 39th province of the Anglican Communion? What does it mean to the global Anglican family?
Well, it means a number of things. To the Anglican family, it means there's yet another province, and the Archbishop Ezekiel Kondo is now one of the primates, and we'll come to the primates meeting. But the real significance is that after the division of Sudan and South Sudan, where the church was united across the peace, but it was increasingly difficult to work that, and there was some suspicion in Khartoum about the link, they created an internal province in 2011. And now it's a fully autonomous province, a separate province, which means that Sudan now has its own church, Anglican Church. And that works not just for the church, but politically as well.
Sudan, of course, is a majority Muslim nation. Most Christians in that region live, in fact, in South Sudan. So
yeah.
How many Christians are there in Sudan? How many Anglicans will there be in this new province? And where are they largely located?
There are five dioceses. Of course, the majority are in Khartoum. But there are four other dioceses, and they're dealing with a lot of refugees that are coming from South Sudan. So even in places like Port Sudan, Wad Medani, El Obeid particularly, and in fact on Saturday morning after 2 hours sleep, we flew down to Kadugli, which is in the contended zone around the Nuba Mountains, and we had very heavy security there. But there's a lot of refugees, and we met a number of them who had come from South Sudan and also from the Nuba Mountains. The important thing to recognize is that Sudan, the north, is Arabic, Islamic, and then the south is predominantly Christian and African, and that's where the sort of fault line has been. So the church in Sudan is often associated with the African church, or with the African ethnicity rather than Arabic, although of course they speak Arabic.
The Christians there face a lot of challenges, don't they? And I know you had the opportunity to meet with President al-Bashir there in Khartoum. And as I read in your blog, you had a chance to talk to him about some of these difficulties, the demolition of churches, the harassment that they face. Tell us more about that meeting.
Well, we had a meeting with the president. We also had a meeting with the foreign minister, with the governor of Khartoum State, and with the minister for, we'd call it minister for religion. It's actually called minister for guidance and endowment, but that's about religion. And they were very robust conversations. We were very clear about making our case on behalf of Christians. And I can say that they were very open to hear the charges that we were making. We got certain commitments out of them. You have to recognize that all of this is tied up with wider political issues for the president and for others, particularly how they work towards the lifting of US sanctions on October the 12th. Hopefully that will come through. And then that's actually something the UK government supports. So we were able to make the case. And I've got to say that there's an element of naivety, if I can call it that. We kept pressing these various ministers and the president that they have to pay attention to how things look outside their country. It's not enough to, in their eyes, be right, but they have to pay attention to how it looks. So, for example, they were very clear, it's not just churches being demolished, there are mosques being demolished, because the issue is not whether they're a church or a mosque, it's whether a building has been built on land that's registered for something else, like residential territory. Now, we challenge that in a number of cases where a couple of churches that are not registered yet and can't get registered, they just keep failing to get them registered, where they very confidently say, well, that church is built on land registered for residentiary construction. And we came back and found that, in fact, in one case where there's a congregation of about 1,000, the building was put up before the regulations for registration ever came in. So what we were trying to persuade them of was the need for a generous pragmatism, as I put it, and a recognition that, you know, if they are demolishing mosques, they need to be able to show us, and they can't at the moment.
Isn't the setting up of this new province in some ways likely to be seen as a provocation aimed at encouraging converts from Islam to Christianity?
No, actually, I mean, one of the things that is true that you see there is Christians and Muslims living alongside each other, and they could give examples of families where they have both. And, you know, we did make it clear that, that's not in question. It's a different issue that we were tackling. But in fact, and this was true several years ago, when the internal province was created, the government was quite pleased because, this may sound naive, but they then had a Sudanese church, not one that was contaminated with the South. So the way they're looking at it is very different. And at the inauguration ceremony, the service on Sunday, a number of ministers and government officials were there, and they spoke in the speeches after the service. So they see it as a very positive thing. We have a Sudanese province.
So you're hoping there should be significantly improved conditions, perhaps, for Christians there now?
Well, I think the Archbishop's visit was very, very important, because the government was very open. I mean, it's why we got access to so many people. And we got commitments from them, and they listened carefully, and they were very respectful. They were robust, as we were. But it's very clear that they have respect for Archbishop Ezekiel Kondo, and the door is open to him in a way that, he'd been trying to meet with the governor of Khartoum State for years, has never been able to. It's never worked out. The Archbishop of Canterbury comes along, suddenly you've got a meeting and you've got commitments and an open door coming from it. So obviously you have to see how the reality works out, but that's a very, very positive start.
Regarding the conflict in neighbouring South Sudan, there has been talk, as you know, of Archbishop Welby making a joint visit with Pope Francis. But that visit has been postponed indefinitely until the political leaders can come up with some kind of peace deal to stop the conflict. How hopeful are you that this can happen sometime in the near future?
Well, I think that you have to bear in mind that politically there has to be a carrot and there has to be a stick. And I think their commitment to visit South Sudan, which is still on the table, is a carrot that comes with a stick. And the stick is to try and make particularly South Sudan and the government of South Sudan pay attention to the needs of the poorest of their people. It appears at the moment that they don't do that. So the onus at the moment is on the government of the South to get its act together. And I think if there's signs that they can do that, I understand there are signs, although I'm not au fait with the details of that, but there are signs that might be beginning, then that's going to be a very good thing. And clearly a joint visit by the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury would be very powerful.
Do you think this visit to the region has in some way helped to move that along, to help ease the conditions in which that might be able to take place?
Well, I think it certainly has in relation to Sudan, who are trying very hard to get to South Sudan, because obviously they've got millions of refugees who come from South Sudan. So they have an interest in getting this resolved. So I think it's certainly a step along the way.
People there in Sudan have been incredibly generous, haven't they, in hosting refugees fleeing from the fighting. What were you able to see of that?
Well, we saw a number, meaning the number in Khartoum itself. When we were in Kadugli, of course, we went and met refugees, where they have been well supported, they're well integrated. They don't want to set up refugee camps, which then become permanent towns, so they're working a different model. It appears to be working well, and certainly the refugees we met, with some horrendous stories behind them, they were from the Nuba Mountains and from down in the south, they were very appreciative.
Your Diocese of Leeds there has had a partnership with Sudan for many years, hasn't it?
Yes.
Tell me how that started.
The former Diocese of Bradford established a link with Sudan, with Khartoum, as it was nearly 40 years ago. The Diocese of Salisbury also have a link with Sudan and South Sudan. So, you know, we have link groups that work that. And in fact, while I was out there, I attended for 2 hours anyway, a round table meeting of the various dioceses and agencies involved in Sudan from an Anglican point of view. And that was very useful in trying to make sure that we now coordinate how we are supporting and helping develop the church there.
It's been noticeable how strong the ecumenical links are in Sudan and indeed South Sudan, with Catholic and Anglican bishops working very closely together on peace and justice and support for the refugees.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I was at dinner with the ambassador and the archbishop with a number of others the evening before I left. And the papal nuncio was there, who was, you know, very politically adept, and you know, it was very good to see what was going on. So that there is also with the Copts, I mean, there is ecumenical strength and ecumenical commitment, but there is also a common task when you're looking at the refugees. So there's no competition there. It's very much about how do we, in the name of Christ, serve these people.
Finally, what else can Christians in the UK and elsewhere do to try and support those who are struggling with the challenges that you've just been seeing there?
Well, I think this may be an odd response, but I think we need to stop passing round simple stories of persecution or of churches demolished that imply that this is the general situation. It isn't. There are real particularities about this. And we need to have a different way of trying to advocate for change. So I think Christians should, A, check the facts and listen to those agencies that have credibility, let me put it that way, rather than those that simply confirm the understanding they would like to have of reality. Secondly, pray, because the church leaders, the bishops, the archbishops need great wisdom as they negotiate with government and as they try very hard to envision a future that even the politicians can't always envisage, you know, as they speak for justice and peace and so on, and pray that they find willing partners. I think thirdly, and I feel this quite strongly having just come back, speaking for the Church of England anyway, we need to coordinate better how we support so we're not all attempting to do the same thing, and there needs to be a more strategic approach, prioritised approach to how we support the church there. And they, of course, we need money for that.
My thanks to Anglican Bishop Nick Baines of the Diocese of Leeds.